Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to bringing you what's new in agricultural marketing. The Zimcast is the official podcast of AgWired and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman.
Hello and welcome to the Zimcast. I'm Chuck Zimmerman. I'd like to thank our sponsor, and that is Growmark, locally owned, globally strong. This week's program is coming to you from the 30th Annual Alltech Symposium in Lexington, Kentucky, and I had the opportunity to sit down with the founder, Dr. Pierce Lyons, and we had a chat about his journey of 30 years with this symposium and 30 plus years with Alltech, the company. It's an interesting look at some of his perspective and some of the things that we're talking about and learning here at the symposium that's taking place. I guess we want to start here with the fact that in your comments today, you said 30 years. Imagine 30 years. Tell us about this experience that you've been on through 30 years to get to where we are today with Alltech.
You know, Chuck, if somebody said to you, you know, can you imagine 30 years from now? And the answer is no, you can't. If somebody said, can you imagine you working with a company for 30 years? And the answer is no, you can't. So when I reflect back on 30 years of the symposium, I think, wow, a couple of questions jump out immediately. And that is, 30 years, but you've been in business 34 years. What happened in the first 4 years? And the answer to that is, in the first 4 years, we were focusing our yeast technology on renewable fuels and ethanol and gasohol. And we were the gasohol experts, and we wrote all the textbooks. And then one day somebody said, well, you know, as you're moving into the animal side, why don't you do the same thing? But if you come to the office sometime and you look at the textbooks that we have put out, one after another after another, it's incredible. The information that was in the late 80s and early 90s, looking for stuff on nematodes, looking for stuff on fertilizers, it's there. Looking for stuff on stimulating plant growth, it's there. Looking for stuff on reducing the use of antibiotics, it's there. Textbook after textbook after textbook. And of course, we continue that for the best part of 15 years. So you have that one stage where we always put a textbook out, and then we decided not to. One of the good reasons was that our competitors simply took what was in the textbooks and took all our research, and we decided, well, that's not a smart thing to do. But having said that, it's supposed to be a place to come for ideas. We basically don't exclude anybody. And we learn so much from the people who come. It's just been the foundation for the business. If there's one thing we would not remove from our portfolio, from what we do, I believe it's the symposium.
Well, you said to me once, and it's one of those things that stuck with me, that you believe that that marketing is a way to do education. I'm paraphrasing.
You know, I always say, first of all, if you can't teach us, you don't know it. And whether it be chemistry or whatever it is, if you can't teach it, you don't know it. And the second thing is, to create a market, you have to educate the market, particularly if the market is not there. And so one of our first slogans was marketing through education. And what the Alltech Symposium is all about is education. If I get up, and I got up this morning, and put my presentation on, and there were some housewives there, or there were some wives of some of my colleagues, and if they don't understand what I'm talking about, then I haven't succeeded. So you have to, the challenge and the exciting part is to present your information in such a way that somebody says, wow, I'm sorry I didn't study, you know, Spanish or no, French, no, science. I should have taken the science. I should have taken more chemistry. So marketing through education. And then earlier today somebody said, you know, what is our approach towards marketing? And I made the comment. I said, you know, marketing for me is a story. It's how you present that story. Everything is a story. And some people can tell a story and some people cannot tell a story. you know, I've got some friends and you have some friends, and they couldn't tell a joke if their life depended on it. And you've got to create the interest, you've got to create the scene, you've got to paint the scene, and then present the story and the data. And some of the things which are presented, I mean, I listened to the talk on Africa. And is Africa the future? Or is Africa a place where you're going to get killed? You're going to get kidnapped? You're going to get all these other things? Well, if you take the killing part and the kidnapping part, a lot of parts of Latin America are like that. We do a lot of business there. And then there's drought. Well, there's a lot of parts of South America that has drought, and we still do business there. So marketing through education on the technology, but maybe also marketing through education, making people aware of the opportunities which exist to feed the world.
Well, the theme here is what if. And in your presentation this morning, you asked that question, followed by more several times, yes. One, I think, that stood out was, and again, I'll maybe paraphrase it, what if we could control, was it disease or what have you, in children through nutrition? That one just kind of really stuck out. How important is nutrition today in looking at how we overcome some of these things we hear about, like the overuse of antibiotics, for example?
Well, how important is nutrition on antibiotics? It's very important. How important is nutrition close to home with regard to our children? I'm fortunate, and you know, I mean, I grew up and all the food was wholesome. My dad never gave us a hamburger. Never, never. He would never give us a hamburger. My mum, he would never accept a hamburger. Minced meat, if you had to mince the meat, there was something wrong with it. He liked juicy, tender meat. And here I am, and touch wood, I've never been in hospital, and touch wood, I've never really been sick, and so on. And how much of that has to do with a sound foundation to nutrition when you were small? My daughter gave a talk Saturday. It was scary. Chuck, it was plumb scary. She's a clinical psychologist, and she looked at what we prescribe to our children. Attention deficit. Give me a break. I mean, of course all kids have attention deficit. I had attention deficit. I fell asleep in class, but my mom didn't know about drugs to keep me awake. But now we have kids are uppers and downers, and we wonder why, in fact, things are going wrong. What she said was, when you look at the brain of a child, a little baby, and then the brain as it grows, you know, at these ages where we're talking about attention deficit, their brain hasn't fully developed, and we're hitting their brain with drugs. And then she talked about nutrition. And she's a clinical psychologist. She's not a nutritionist, but she's a PhD in this area. She knows her stuff. And she said that when she went into the literature, not her research, but the literature, recognized literature, she found that if you fed DHA, now there's a whole story there also, because we talk about omega-3s. It's not omega-3s. It's DHA omega-3s. And if they could just get rid of that other confusion. But when they fed DHA, these kids slept longer. It was extraordinary. 58 minutes a night more for a child, and the child sleeps well, is a lot of sleep. Plus the fact the child had much more content sleep with DHA. So they then took, and this was done in England, it was done in America, a number of countries, they looked at attention deficit. And they found that had been reduced with DHA. They looked at scores, test scores, and they went up. Attentiveness, and they went up. That's all very interesting. But it begs the question, why weren't we feeding DHA to them in the first place? And perhaps every Friday we got fish. Whether we liked it or not, we got fish. And every morning, incidentally, we got cod liver oil, whether we liked it or not. And I still remember standing there, I cringe, remembering the taste of cod liver oil. Did my mum know that she was giving me DHA? No. She knew this was good for you. And my whole generation got cod liver oil. And then there was a major breakthrough. They should have given the Nobel Prize for it. And the major breakthrough was unbelievable. You know what it was?
No.
They put it in a capsule. Right. And then you didn't have to taste it. Now, it repeated, possibly, but you didn't have your mouth covered with oil. I mean, literally covered with oil. You talk about an oil spillage down in the Gulf. You had an oil spillage in your mouth. And but here we are.
Yeah.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. Maybe a lot of people won't, but it's every bit of what you were insinuating there. Let's move to Africa for just a moment, because you had here inspirational story with Lopez Lomong, who was a two-time Olympian for the United States. He had some thoughts in the press conference about, you know, the idea of helping nations in Africa, people in Africa, and how I guess there is some growing interest here in the United States to do this. I mean, I think your conference today is showing that. Talk about what you see, what you think in terms of what can be done, what should be done, what you might be interested in doing.
You know, Africa is, of course, topical at the moment with the 250-plus young girls who've been kidnapped. And then all of a sudden, you know, we become aware of it, and the First Lady says something, and different people say something. We've got to do something, but we're doing nothing. Those children are gone. Those children probably will never come back. Now, I'm not advocating that we go in with troops and do something, but there's a bigger problem. The problem is, why weren't we doing something before? We've known it to be a problem. So when I think of Africa and I think of Lopez, the great runner, you think of what could or should be done. You're 6 years old and you're kidnapped. You're 6 years old and you're thrown in the back of a truck. You're 6 years old and you're not allowed off to go to the bathroom, so you go right there with all the other kids who are there. You know, these are shocking images. And maybe we as a country need to almost go back to the Peace Corps, Kennedy's Peace Corps. And the Peace Corps had a whole generation of young people who wanted to go there. With the Peace Corps, there was never a connotation of religion. Sometimes I think we have too much of a connotation of religion. We're going to do things on a religious basis. We have two schools in Haiti. And the two schools in Haiti have between them probably the best part of 1,600 kids. Do they get religious instruction? I really don't know. But we're there to help them. I think we need to do more of that in Africa. We also need to, you know, Bono once said, I heard him saying, well, if we can get rid of the corruption in Africa, and that's the biggest problem and so forth. Get real. You're not going to get rid of the corruption. And you can't let that hold you back. The other thing is, I'm not a huge fan of NGOs. They do great work. Of course they do great work. But we have to create jobs, not churches, not schools. Schools, yes, but you better have a job afterwards. That's what Africa needs. Africa needs exports. And if you think of it, how could the United States help? How could the government of the United States help? Well, what would happen if they bought all their coffee from one or two of these places? For the army. Just for the army. What would happen if they bought it from Haiti or there's another place they might buy it from? What would happen if the things, let's not lose sight. We don't want to lose jobs in America. So what is it that we can do down there which is going to not hurt us but help them? Can we provide them with more technology? The Chinese are there for a reason. And they're there because they like the resources. America has to maybe take a leaf out of their book. Africa's scary. I love South Africa. We go every every year my wife and I, she in particular likes going to the game parks and so on. Tough place to go. But you know that we have a project in Kenya which is extraordinary. It gets back to nutrition. Extraordinary. We've been sending Salplex down there and a derivative of Salplex. And in the course of 3 years, the mortality rates on HIV and everything else is the same. Their behavior is the same. Their mortality rates have gone from maybe 60% to 6%. And when I told a colleague of mine that, and I told USA Today, the magazine, that, or the newspaper, they couldn't believe it. They said, wow, this is incredible. Well, I sent an email to a friend of mine who was going back down to Kenya. I said, how's it going? He said, Pierce, you've no idea. You have no idea how many people Salplex has saved. Nutrition. What would happen if we gave them DHA, nutrition? Because their animals are not providing them the meat, which has all the nutrients in it. I mean, you and I are fine. Yeah, we get a good steak, and it's got everything on it. You get it. So there's a lot to be done down there.
As you look towards the end of the conference here this week, what are you hoping to be able to say we Altec accomplished, and what do you hope that these attendees going home from all over the world can take back with them?
The purpose of the symposium is, on one hand, the dissemination of information and the accumulation of information. And as I look at some of our young speakers, the Altec speakers, frankly, they're excellent. But at the same time, it's a business proposition. The symposium this year has been streamlined. The symposium this year has, rather than have many different sessions, we were much fewer. And what we hope, and we're seeing it already, is that people are leaving and saying, we want to do more business with Altec. We've got a lot more senior people here this week. Senior people, as in owners. You know, if the owner doesn't say go, the organization doesn't go. And I can think of, off the top of my head, I can think of a dozen owners who are here. And they're turning around and saying, how come we're not doing as much with Altec as we should be? Or maybe there's a dozen owners that are not here. And as we raise this bar, they need to be here. The other thing is, frankly, we need the politicians to be here. For heaven's sake. I mean, you've got 2,000 people, 2,000 plus, whatever it is, here. And who do we have? Andy Barr, the local Republican. Great guy that he is. And he was here. He was here last night. We had a retired Governor Patton, good guy too. Where was the governor last night? You know, these things are happening, and we have a great governor, don't misunderstand me. But if they're going to understand where the world is going to, they need to be here. If I'm going to understand where the world is going, I need to be at that event, perhaps you were talking about in South Africa. You got to go there, you got to feel what's going on. And you can. There's a couple of ways you can do it. You can go one company by one company. You can go on a trade mission. But why would you go on a trade mission to Brazil when here we have 30 CEOs from Brazil here? Why would you go on a trade mission to Russia when you have 5-10 CEOs from Russia here? I don't get it.
Well, maybe that's why we, the media here, need to help get that word out.
On Saturday, we had 5,000 people came in to the craft brewing event. 5,000. Here we have 2,000. 5,000. 2,000. The 5,000 were the local people, and they were blown away. They really didn't know this that Altec was what it was. Yes, our beer has changed the image of Altec. Our Pikeville project is changing the image of Altec. The work that we're doing on crop science is changing the image of Altec. One of my ambitions, I should have done it years ago, One of my ambitions is in the state of Kentucky to make sure that we're known to every dairyman out there, to make sure we're known to every grain farmer out there. And when our young people went out talking about grain set, think about it, they're going to get more yield per acre, as much as half a ton to a ton. They're going to have higher starch in that and higher protein. And when they went knocking on the door, guess what? The farmer said, if this is Alltech, we want to work with them. They're the guys who brought us the games. They're the guys who did this, this, and this. So what we have to do next year is get more people. The 5,000 needs to become 10,000. The punters, the local punters, we call it. We also need to get all those our local congressmen or local members, they need to be here. They need to be here. But at the end of the day, Chuck, you can do what you can do. And my target is still to continue the growth of our company. We've had 3 months, the highest ever sales in the company's history and the highest profitability in the company's history. And we have five acquisitions that we're talking to at this moment in time. Some of them are reasonable size, some of them are not. It doesn't get any better. I'd like to say the Kentucky Ale doesn't get any better. I used to say it's Miller time, and I have to say it's Miller time. You know, it's Miller time. Well, maybe it's Alltech time.
That sounds good. It's Alltech time. We might just have to title the story for this. It's Alltech time. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Pierce Lyons. He has welcomed, as he said, a couple thousand of his best friends from all over the world here to Lexington, Kentucky. Gorgeous part of the state here in horse country. And as fact, tonight I understand we're going to go to dinner again at the horse park. Yes, so we'll be there. I'd like to thank Alltech for having me come into their symposium again, and hope to have the chance again next year. That's the Zimcast for this week. I hope you've enjoyed it, and thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Zimcast, the official podcast of AgWired. Check us out at www.agwired.com to find out what's new in agricultural marketing.